Trinadapi sunichena torareva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari Harenama eva kevalam klo nastyeva 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 gatiranyata vancha kalpataruvyascha kripasindubhyayeva cha patitanang bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Tonight I would like to speak to you a very important verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam picks up where the Bhagavad Gita leads off. Bhagavad Gita leads off with the commandment of Krishna that everyone should surrender unto him exclusively, and one should not fear, one should not worry, hesitate, or doubt. And if there is any consideration of sinful reaction, Krishna says, I will deliver you. Srimad Bhagavatam, the whole purpose is to explain what is God and what is his relationship with his servants, his devotees. Bhagavad Gita is to bring us to the point of accepting Krishna as supreme. Otherwise, why surrender? Unless Krishna is supreme, why should one surrender? But how to surrender specifically, how to execute Krishna's commandment of surrender is explained in 18,000 verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam in 12 cantos and in the beginning chapters. There is a discussion of the sages of Naimisharanya who have assembled to perform a sacrifice to last 1,000 years for the benefit of the people who would take birth in the age of Kali, of which we have passed 5,000 years. The age of Kali is the age of quarrel, confusion, hypocrisy. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it says that the symptoms of Kali Yuga increase day by day. Those symptoms are the decrease of religious principles and the increase of vices, of sin, lust, anger, and greed. Those three things, lust, anger, and greed, Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, are the three gates that take one directly to hell. And Kali Yuga means lust, anger, and greed increases daily. So if one wants to go to hell, Kali Yuga is designed for you. But if you want to go against the current, and if you want to surrender to Krishna, then there is help. That help is in the form, there are many, but one big help is the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because in chapter 3, Suta Goswami will answer one of the initial questions of the sages of Naimisharanya. And that last question that they asked Suta, what will people do in the age of Kali to escape its clutches? And Suta Goswami said, yes, people will get light from Srimad Bhagavatam. Though those who want to escape going to hell, those who want to live a spiritual life, Srimad Bhagavatam is your son. That's exactly what Suta Goswami said. Srimad Bhagavatam is like the sun. The age of Kali is like a mass of dark, dense clouds. But when the powerful sun is there, the dense clouds are driven away. Bhagavatam is that bright sun which illuminates, and those who take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam will get relief. I would like to speak on one shloka of Srimad Bhagavatam. I request you to repeat after me. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna.
Hare, Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama, Rama.
Rama.
Hare Hare. Dharma Svarishtita Pungsang Vishvaksena Katasuya No Padaya Yadi Rating Srama Evahi Kevalam. This last line is just very opposite of a line that I chant every time I speak. Haryanama Eva Kevalam. That all you need is to chant the holy name of God, very simple, and you will get all success. But this statement of Suta Goswami, answering one of the questions of the sages of Naimisharanya, talks about something else. So the first line, Dharma Svanushtita Pungsam. Dharma, the best definition of dharma is that which sustains your existence. That means, what is your actual occupation? That is dharma. What is something's intrinsic nature? For instance, Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Parityaja. Give up all other engagements or occupations and just surrender to me. So dharma means, what are you actually doing? How are you actually living your life? How are you struggling? In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, what is material existence? It is simply a struggle with the six senses, which includes the mind. That is material existence. That's all. It's a struggle. So, everyone is struggling in this material world just to exist. All, whether it be the animals, human beings, demigods. The demigods are always being harassed by the demons. It's not that they're living there, no hassles. One day, Indra woke up in his kingdom, and he looked out his door, and there was Bali Maharaj with thousands of soldiers coming to kick him out of office. He had to go hiding. He had to go into hiding. And it wasn't until Lord Vamanadev came that Indra was reinstated in his post. So don't think, oh, I want to go to heaven. It's not a walk in the park. So this whole material world is the world of struggle, fighting. So dharma means, what is my actual occupation? What am I really doing? Dharma svanushtita pungsang. So Suta Goswami said, here is what you should be doing. Whatever you're doing, whatever. He is saying, what you should be doing, regardless of your position, Meaning, you may be a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. Everyone falls into those categories. So, Sutta Goswami says, regardless of what your position is, Vishvaksena Katasuya. Note Padayad Yadi Riting Shrama Evihi Kevalam. He is saying, whatever you're doing, the goal should be that you are becoming more and more attracted to the message of God. If whatever, doesn't matter, whatever you're doing in your life, it's okay. But the thing should be, am I becoming more attracted to the message of God? If not, Shrama Evahi Kevalam. Sutta Goswami says, if it's not, you're wasting your time. And this Shrama Evahi Kevalam, certainly you're wasting your time, entirely you're wasting your time, and only wasting time. Useless labor. Laboring for nothing. Why does he say that? Because if whatever I'm doing is not provoking an attraction more and more for the message of God, in my next life, I am going down. The goal of life is to elevate. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, when Krishna begins his discussion of the yoga system, in the beginning verses, Krishna describes the mind. And he says, the mind, you should be elevating your mind, not degrading. Otherwise, your mind becomes your own worst enemy. For instance, last week or the week before, a college student from Riverside, who graduated tops in his class, then went to Colorado, I guess for a PhD. And because he could not control his mind, what happened? He became a complete demon, killing people in a movie theater. Now he has wasted his life. So the mind has to be controlled. The mind has to be always uplifted, improved. Otherwise, going down. So the real criteria is, you may be a doctor, you may be a lawyer, you may be a businessman, you may be a street sweeper, you may be a puruhit. You may be an engineer. You may be engineer. Yeah, because he was. No, I don't know what he was. But, yes, it was something. Anyway, you may be a housewife, you may be a student, but the question should be asking, what I'm doing, am I becoming more and more attracted to the message of God, God's message? Otherwise, if not, I'm wasting my time. I'm not going to improve. I'm not going to advance. There are two ways of going. One way is to gradually promote to higher and higher and higher forms of existence. And the other is to degrade. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. My spiritual master translates this verse as follows. The occupational activities a man performs according to his own position are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the personality of Godhead. Which begs a question. What is the message of Godhead? I already stated more or less. If you want the message of Godhead, you just have to read one verse of Bhagavad Gita. Sarvadhaman parityaja kam sharanam vraja ahang tvang sarva papebhyo mokshaya shyami mahasuchaha. In essence, although there are 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita, if you had to pick one verse, there it is. Here's the message. The message is, Krishna says, surrender to me. And in the previous verse, he says, here's what you should do. Always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me. Offer your homage to me. In this way, surely you will come to me. But you could say, the message of Godhead is there in the entire Bhagavad Gita. It is there in the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada, in his magazine, in one title of the magazine, gives you the message of Godhead. The message of Godhead is, come back home. Your home, unfortunately, is not Placentia or Orange County or anywhere in this material world. Your original home is with God. That's why the magazine says, back to Godhead. The very use of the word back has great significance. You cannot go back to some place you've never been. Back means you were someplace, you're going back. Like many of you were born in India. How many of you were born in India? So you could say at any time, Prabhu, I'm going back to India. Right? You were in India, you came to America, you were very successful, but you may say, all right, I had enough. I want to go to India. Me, I would say, I cannot say I'm going back to India. I could in one sense, because I've gone once, and I'm going back in December. All right? But I cannot say I'm going back to Australia. I've never been to Australia. So back means I was somewhere and now I'm returning. So when Prabhupada says back to Godhead, what is he saying? Originally, we were residents of the kingdom of God. So the message of Godhead is, I'm waiting for you, God says. Return home. I'm waiting. Come back. Just like your children, they grow up, they have families of their own, and by the way things go, you may not see them for a long time. So after some time, there may be a letter or email or a phone. Come on, come back. And then everybody is very happy. Family reunion, right? Unfortunately, a lot of times it's either weddings or funerals. But at least there is the gathering. So our original family is in the kingdom of God. That's our original family. We may have families now, but we have an original family that are waiting for us. The message of Godhead is, come on back. And it's up to you, it's up to me to determine how quickly do I want to do it, how soon. But the message of Godhead is, come back. Let me read Srila Prabhupada's purport that he wrote to this verse, and then we can have some questions. There are different occupational activities in terms of a man's different conceptions of life. To the gross materialist who cannot see anything beyond the gross material body, there is nothing beyond the senses. Therefore, his occupational activities are limited to concentrated and extended selfishness. Now he explains. Concentrated selfishness centers around one's personal body. This is generally seen amongst the lower animals. Extended selfishness is manifested in human society and centers around the family, society, community, nation, and the world with a view to gross bodily comfort. And above the gross materialists are the mental speculators who hover aloft in their mental spheres, and their occupational duties involve making poetry and philosophy or propagating some ism with the same aim of selfishness limited to the body and the mind. But above the body and mind is the dormant spirit soul, whose absence from the body makes the whole range of bodily and mental selfishness completely null and void. That is a sentence that if it was in a newspaper, it would be in highlight, big, because it's a main point. Above the body and mind is the dormant spirit soul, whose absence from the body makes the whole range of bodily and mental selfishness completely null and void. But less intelligent people have no information of the needs of the spirit soul, because foolish people have no information of the soul and how it is beyond the purview of the body and mind. And thus, they are not satisfied in the performance of their occupational duties. So that's why Bhagavad Gita begins with, first thing you learn from Krishna is that you are soul, that you're not your body or mind. That's the first thing Krishna explains. The question of the satisfaction of the self is raised herein. The self is beyond the gross body and subtle mind. The self is the potent active principle of the body and mind. And without knowing the need of the dormant soul, one cannot be happy simply with the emolument of the body and mind. That was one of Arjuna's situations at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, when he said, I don't find how I can fight this war either way and find happiness. So this point here, that without understanding the soul, one cannot be happy on the bodily and mental platform. Something will eventually happen, and one will not be happy. Like Arjuna. The spirit soul's needs must be fulfilled. Simply by cleansing the cage of the bird, one does not satisfy the bird. One must actually know the needs of the bird itself. Imagine, I know somebody in New Jersey. She has about 19 parrots of different sizes from different places around the world. She built a whole extension in her house for the birds. And when you go in, the birds are all talking. So, it's a lot of work taking care of a bird. So, if a person has a bird, takes care of the cage, cleans the cage, but neglects the bird, at a certain point, what happens? The bird dies. You have a nice cage, the bird died. We are in a similar position. The bird is the soul. So if we only take care of the cage and neglect the soul, whereas that same person who took care of the bird's cage, but the bird died. So that's why Prabhupada is saying the needs of the spirit soul must be fulfilled. The need of the spirit soul is that she wants to get out of the limited sphere of material bondage and fulfill her desires for complete freedom. She wants to get out of the covered walls of the greater universe. She wants to see the free light and the spirit. And that complete freedom is achieved when one meets the complete spirit, the personality of Godhead. Because we are only fragmental spirit. The complete spirit, God Himself. Now this next statement by Prabhupada is very, very poignant. There is dormant affection for God within everyone. If one can accept this fact, one can make great advancement, understanding that within every soul, love of God is lying dormant. That's not difficult if we accept Krishna's statement in Bhagavad Gita, Mamai Vangsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. As I said a few minutes ago, we all belong to the family of God. This verse of Bhagavad Gita means we are all Krishna's anshas. That means we have all His qualities to a minute degree. But still, He claims us. Elsewhere in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I am your father. Aham bija padat pita. Krishna says, I am your seed-giving father. So in two verses, Krishna is claiming us as His children. With that in mind, this statement makes sense. Love of God lies dormant within everyone. Spiritual existence is manifested through the gross body and mind in the form of perverted affection for gross and subtle matter. Therefore, we have to engage ourselves in occupational engagements that will evoke our divine consciousness. This is possible only by hearing and chanting the divine activities of the Supreme Lord. So now you know one of many reasons why you come to the temple. He said it right here. To hear and chant the divine activities of the Lord. That's why we come. That's why this pravachan is important. Dare I say, necessary. We should know, we should be hearing the divine activities of the Supreme Lord. And any occupational activity which does not help one achieve attachment for hearing and chanting the transcendental message of Godhead is said herein to be simply a waste of time. This is because other occupational duties, whatever ism they may belong to, cannot give liberation to the soul. Even the activities of the salvationists are considered to be useless because of their failure to pick up the fountainhead of all liberties. The fountainhead of all everything. Fountainhead means the source. That's God. He is the fountainhead of all liberties. The gross materialist can practically see that material gain is limited only to time and space, either in this world or the other. Buffett and that other guy, who's that Microsoft guy? Yes. So they have billions, but there's going to come a day. Bye-bye. They have to leave it. Even Indra. One day, bye-bye Indra. Because it's a post. Any position in this material world, from Lord Brahma down to the ant, is a temporary post. The day will come when you have to say bye-bye. Even in the temple board, in your bylaws, right? It has to change, right? I didn't make the bylaws. You guys made the bylaws. So that's the material world. Any position, the day will come. Thank you very much. At best, you get a thank you very much. Sometimes you get a kick in the pants. But the day will come. Adios. So this point is so apropos. The gross materialist can practically see that material gain is limited only to time and space. Even if one goes up to Swarga Loka, that's the heavenly planets, one will find no permanent abode for one's hankering soul. The hankering soul must be satisfied by the perfect scientific process of perfect devotional service. So, the soul, what does the soul need? The soul needs spiritual contact. Another expression that is used, a fish out of water. If you have ever seen, you take the fish out of the water, what happens? The fish is gasping and flapping because we breathe it just like us. If we don't have air, we don't last. Unless you're some kind of yogi where you can hold your breath like Dhruva Maharaj every 6 months or whatever. But most of us, after a few seconds, we need air. Same way with the fish. The fish needs to be in the water. You keep the fish out of water, eventually gone. So a soul without spiritual contact is like a fish out of water. So, how does the soul become nourished? How does the soul become satisfied? Prabhupada ended the sentence, the paragraph, by saying, perfect scientific process of devotional service, bhakti. And you're doing it right now, the most important, the first process. Hearing the message of Godhead. And you should hear this message of Godhead as much as possible. Hearing, chanting, remembering, praying, worshiping, doing seva. These activities nourish the soul. And the more the soul is nourished, the more happy and blissful you become. And if I neglect these activities of bhakti, then the soul becomes dried, my heart becomes harder and harder, and I may have lots of money, I may have everything I want, but inside I'm going to be miserable. We even say, even America says, money can't buy you love. Yes. And where does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita, I want your money? Does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita, I want your money? Maybe temples do, but Krishna doesn't say that. What does Krishna say? What does he want? What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita he wants? Love. Why? Because he already has all the money. He's got everything. What am I going to give him that he doesn't already have? But the one thing that he does want is our love, voluntarily coming from you. Yes, we may be insignificant. We may be very, very tiny, but there is one thing that interests Krishna, and that is your love and devotion. That's it. And that's why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita at least 3 times, you want to know me? Love me. You want to see me? Love me. You want to understand me? Love me. And love, that's another thing. What is love? Love means to do some service. For instance, before almost all of you came, my friend here, he came and he brought me this pillow. That's love. I didn't ask him, but because he wanted to do some service, his love was shown by, he gave me this pillow. That's love. Love can be the most insignificant thing. Seemingly insignificant. That's why Krishna says, you know, it's really amazing. Krishna says, patrang pushpam palam toyam. Krishna says, even if you're the poorest, can you give me a leaf? Does he need a leaf? Well, he may want tulsi. But if you give a leaf, a flower, fruit, water. Shh. Just even, but what does Krishna say? But the real thing is bhakti, with your love and from your heart. This whole bhakti process is an affair of the heart. That's all God wants. This is why it was easy for me to embrace this philosophy. I was not raised Hindu, but why was it so easy for me to embrace this? Because it was giving me, as it says here, a scientific process. When I started to understand, once you go beyond the Sanskrit and all the, you know, rules and regulations, once you get to the heart of the matter, anyone who understands the essence of Bhagavad Gita, unless you're a diehard demon, you have to love Krishna. It's so beautiful. When I started to read these books, I was thinking, I've been looking for this all my life. Here I am, 22 years old. I've been looking everywhere. I'm not happy. But now I have found what I've been looking for all my life. The message of Krishna. The message of God. And it has not failed me. I started in 1972. It is now 2012. I don't regret one day living this life of Krishna consciousness. And that's why I go and preach. I'm convinced nobody can change my mind. There's nothing better. Yesterday, I was telling someone, yes, why did I start? The food. You can't get better food. But after that, then the message, the association, and just everything about the message of Krishna is the very name Krishna, all attractive. Everything about Krishna is attractive. The sound of his name, Kirtan. Who is not attracted when Gadadhar Das sings Kirtan Bhajan? Who's not attracted? The only person not attracted is somebody who's deaf. Am I right or wrong? The sound is all attractive. The murti, all attractive. His message, all attractive. Everything about Krishna is all attractive. Let me chant a little and then we can have some questions. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 Rakshaman. Krishna, 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 Pahimam. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshamam. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahima. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshama. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahima. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, I understand, I have your answer. So, one of the things that is very popular right now, it has been for many years, those who are very, very successful in the material world, they sometimes take a course on how to manage time, how to prioritize. So, that is necessary. There should be some balance. There should be some regulation. We see nowadays, at least I see, more and more people are going to the gym, doing exercises, doing yoga. Why? Because they want to stay healthy, or the doctor has told them you have to do this. So, although they may be very, very busy, because the doctor has, they figure out, okay, I'm going to spend this much time every day. Then there's so much time, you have to work, you have to eat, you have to take care of your family. So, you have to figure out, there must be quality time spent for hearing and chanting. Just like the doctor will say, Mr. such and such, you need to lose 20 pounds or else you run the risk of this. Now, if the person says, that doctor, who is he kidding? The doctor's not, the instruction was for the person. So, the message here is, and you heard it, don't just take care of the cage. Take care of the bird. So there must be quality time every day spent hearing and chanting the message of Godhead. Prabhupada recommends for householders, a little bit in the morning, little bit midday, little bit at night. Something has to give. There's only so much time in the day. That means less time watching ZTV. Something's got to give. So, sometime every day has to be spent for hearing and chanting the message of Godhead. And the trick is that if you just do a little bit every day and you become regulated, naturally it will increase. Because the bird in the cage will say, oh, I like this. Can you give me a little more? And before you know it, the taking care of the cage will become minimized. And the emphasis will be on the bird in the cage. All of my serious students started like that. All of my serious students, how did I instruct them? Just do little bit. And on their own, gradually they increased. Now you know. One of them is preaching here regularly in Radha Marman Temple. Several of my students who started with me are now on the altar in New Dwarka. And they all started out just by doing a little bit every day. So be careful. Okay? And as the shoe commercial says, just do it. So you think they're happy. It seems that they're happy. Okay. They may feel that they're happy. But we'll have to see at the time of death, won't we? And you and I are not going to be there when they take their next birth. So you know, you read Bhagavad Gita, you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you know what is going to be the destination of such a person who has no soul contact. What's going to happen? Yes. For instance, let me tell you a story. Before I was coming to Krishna consciousness, as I was becoming introduced, I had one girlfriend, and she told me right on my face, she said, I'm not interested in this. I said, but in your next life you may be degraded. She said, I don't care next life if I become a dog. I said, I got to get rid of this one. So yes, God gives everyone freedom. You can choose how you want to live. So if someone has no interest in spiritual life, then material nature, under the order of Krishna, says, all right, they didn't like this opportunity of human life. They want to enjoy more material things. Take your birth as a pigeon. Take your birth as a whatever. Enjoy. Be happy. But you know, you can see, you know better. I don't want to take my next life as a dog, because it may be a dog in Korea. You may wind up on somebody's plate. My favorite example, Indra. Indra was cursed to take birth as hog. As hog, he had his wife, he had his children. When Brahma came, Indra, it's time for you. Come on, let's go. Indra said, what do you mean? I'm happy. I got my wife. I got this nice stool. He was happy. This is mentioned in Bhagavatam by Lord Kapila. Maya has two potencies. Everyone should know this fact. Maya has two potencies, throwing and covering. The throwing potency means she's so powerful, if we are rascal, she throws us down into a lower condition. The covering potency is, I like it. For instance, there are examples. People get thrown in jail. They don't want to come out. Do you want to get thrown in jail? Anybody here? But there are people. Hey, I like jail. I like it. Maybe that's true in America, but I wouldn't want to get thrown in jail in Mexico or any place else sometimes I go. So this is the bewildering nature of this material energy. That you are sunk down lower, you may not have any experience. I have experience. I have known people in my previous life before becoming a devotee, drug addict. I knew them personally. They had no inclination to get out of their drug addiction. They're very happy. And they may be living in squalor, very unclean, and the diseased body. But they think, I'm happy. That's the bewildering feature of this material energy. So, don't get bewildered. That's it? We're done? Okay.
Thank you, Prabhuji.